reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus instructed the 12 as follows. The disciple is not superior to the teacher, nor the slave to his master. It is enough for the disciple that he should grow to be like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they call the master of the house Beelzebul, what will they not say of his household? Do not be afraid of them, therefore. Everything that is now covered will be uncovered. Everything now hidden will be made clear. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the daylight. What you hear in whispers, proclaim from the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Fear him, rather, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Do not buy two sparrows for a penny. Yet not one falls to the ground without your Father knowing. Every hair on your head has been counted. So there is no need to be afraid. You are worth more than hundreds of sparrows. So if anyone declares himself for me in the presence of men, I will declare myself for him in the presence of my Father in heaven. But the one who disowns me in the presence of men, I will disown in the presence of my Father in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Back Christmas Day 1964, I was 7 years old and was somewhat disturbed when my favourite television programme, Christmas Special, Doctor Who, had the lead character, the actor playing him, turn to everybody and wish everybody back home a Merry Christmas. Soon this while having a drink in the TARDIS, his spaceship. Might say nowadays they probably ban children's programmes from showing characters drinking alcohol. But in those days the Doctor liked a good drink, but most weeks. The technique the Doctor, William Hartnell, the actor, used, it's called breaking the fourth wall. Quite an old phrase, apparently goes back to the 18th century when it was pointed out that this often happens in plays. The stage has got three walls. The fourth wall, which is not actually there, just the open space, is a wall that the characters all ignore because they're supposed to be in a house or in a forest or somewhere. But very often the actor turns and addresses the audience. And that technique itself is not absent from the Bible in a very different way. But back to the Old Testament, there's a sense that everything is in a play. There is a sort of audience we're being seen. It's sometimes seen in terms of the recording angel, the vision Amos has of an angel writing everything down. It's sometimes seen in terms of the hidden world of heaven. A very vivid example of the fourth wall is actually the beginning of the book of Job. Job himself, we're told, is a just man, but then we discover that he has an audience, Satan and God. Have you seen my servant, Job? Says God to Satan. They're the audience. They're the watchers. And the fourth wall is in fact always broken. We're always being watched. With Christ, it's easy to forget just how much this idea pervades the whole point of the Gospels, what the Gospels do. Everything that we see is Christ. We know about him. His words are addressed to us. Sometimes we do the opposite. We actually forget that they're addressed to people in the Gospel. The Sermon on the Mount, for instance, is to the crowd, and to a crowd who will not understand, who will in fact reject him. But many people read the Sermon on the Mount as just a straight sermon to us giving us moral advice. We forget the drama because we're so used to being the audience. But the fact that the audience is significant, it's part of the proof of Christ's mission that he is who he says he is. Whatever is covered will be uncovered. Everything now hidden will be made clear. That's breaking the fourth wall. It's saying that the things he says to these people in the small, obscure territory of the Roman Empire, I was going to say country, but it's not really a country anymore. It's just a province. In fact, divided into four parts because of the complexities of organisation under the Roman Empire. In this small place, this man speaks, and we hear him now. He speaks to us now. The fact of his, that he, we know what he said, is itself part of the evidence for the truth of what he said and did, and part of the evidence for what he was. And it's true for all of us that there is no fourth wall. It's how the martyrs survive that sense that they are part of the great drama. They are being watched, they're being known, they're being cared for, even in a cell with four very real solid walls, even in solitude. They know they're not alone. Someone is watching. More importantly, someone is caring. And that's where it's different from breaking the fourth wall in the drama. Every hair has been counted. There's no need to be afraid. You're worth more than hundreds of sparrows. We're not just watched by God, we're loved by God. He's concerned. Christ himself is watching. And it's not for entertainment, it's not for interest. It's rather to make us part of a better play, because he's the writer of the play. He's the maker of our life. We have to do it with him. We have choice. We have to trust. We have to together try to write a better play, perform better, be better. The fourth wall has not been broken from inside the drama, but from outside, by the writer, the maker of the drama, by the Blessed Trinity, and by Christ. Just as we too see his life as a drama for us to be inspired by, taught by, fulfilled by, give meaning to our life. Each one of us is part of that same drama, still being written, still unfolding, still coming to its finality, to its end, in Christ, the writer, the chief performer of the drama. The God is with us always. The love is with us always. That's the power of the Spirit. We are loved. We're never alone. And there is no trivial moments in any human being's life, ever. But everything is precious to God.